Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Monday, November 11th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. And week 10 almost done, man. Of course, we still have Monday Night Football to go, but I want to break down everything we saw yesterday. I thought it was going to be like a high scoring week because of Thursday Night Football, and it actually really wasn't, but it was an interesting week nonetheless. So let's dive into it. Remember, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Go get in over there. If you haven't already, I don't know what you're waiting for. But let me get into the first game, of course, the Germany game, where the Giants found a way to lose to the Carolina Panthers in overtime. A tough one there for Tyrone Tracy fumbling in overtime. But I don't think that ultimately impacts his job. He's still better than Devin Singletary. 18 for 103 and a pretty rushing touchdown. They haven't involved him a lot in the passing game. That's okay. It's not a knock. It's a little surprising given his background. I wouldn't freak out too much over Malik Nabers. He did have 10 targets, 6 for 50. He hasn't been able to kind of recapture what he had earlier in the season. I know a lot of attention is going to be paid to Daniel Jones. Maybe they decide to move on from him as the quarterback because they have some financial reasons to do so. He does have injury guarantees. Remember, in NFL contracts, not all guaranteed money is guaranteed. I know it's so stupid, but he has guaranteed for injury money heading into next year's deal. That is precisely the reason why we've seen some of these guys who sit, like, you know, Derek Carr 2 years ago, Russell Wilson last year. That could happen with Daniel Jones. Like, they have no guaranteed money left on his contract for next year. They can legitimately move on. They're probably going to have a pretty premium draft pick if things continue the way they are. So we could very well see Locke get in there. And maybe that actually helps a little bit because, you know, Locke's got some moxie to him. That is a distinct possibility for this team. On the other side, Bryce, again, not great numbers, but he just looks a little better. He's not great, but he doesn't have to be great. He has to improve as the starter. And where they've played themselves now out of the conversation for the number one pick, that's actually not that bad for them. Like, they're still going to be like a, you know, quote unquote lottery pick very likely here, unless they somehow like run the table, which would be outrageous. Canales for coach of the year. But if they don't have to draft a quarterback, that changes the dynamic. We'll see. Chuba Hubbard rolling. I think we know why he got the contract that he got. 28 for 153 in a score. I still don't mind Xavier Leggett as an ad. I mean, I realize Jalen Coker led the way with 8 targets, but more boomer bust. I guess they're all boomer bust with that group. And Miles Sanders, by the way, exited this game. We should see Jonathan Brooks next week, but he's still just going to be second fiddle to Chuba Hubbard. Unfortunately, like, if you have Brooks all this time, it just doesn't look like it's going to work out. I don't mind him for Dynasty, even with Chuba Hubbard's extension, but Hubbard's the guy. All right, let's move on to New England and Chicago. So there were some who asked, and this was the Patriots rolling 19-3. Some who would ask if Caleb Williams was going to lose his job. I think that would be an absolute and utter disaster. Like, that would be a catastrophic failure by the coaching staff if they went down that road. Like, it was already bad enough for Bryce. It's bad enough for Anthony Richardson in year two. In year one, let him take these lumps. Let's never forget how many interceptions Peyton Manning threw in his rookie season. It isn't always pretty. He still ended up being Peyton Manning. Now, I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be that, but I also don't think he's as bad as this looks. I think this is an offensive coordinator thing, and they need to figure something out because Shane Waldron isn't that dude. Don't know what it is, but it's not Shane Waldron. So they are allegedly working on things behind the scenes. Better days will be ahead for DeAndre Swift. And I gave this message out on my radio show. Now, I realize the listener of the podcast is probably a much more reasonable person than the radio. Well, you know, and it's not a knock on the radio people. There are just there are a lot more listeners of that than there are of this show. Like, if you listen to this podcast, chances are you're somebody who's followed along with me for quite some time. Like, maybe you stumbled upon the podcast, which is cool. Like, welcome. We're always glad to have more people here. But generally speaking, I think you get where I'm coming from. I don't play emotional, you know, all that. I try to be as zen as possible about all this stuff. And I honestly know certain players are boom or bust. Like, it's not new that DJ Moore is boom or bust, right? It's not new. But a lot of people can't handle that. And what ends up happening for a lot of people is they end up hating the player, not hating them as human beings, hating them as fantasy assets, right? And my moral to those folks, and this may apply to you, I don't know, but if it does, my moral is if you really don't like the player, and I'm not talking about, again, as a human being, I mean, as a fantasy option, don't roster him. Like, when these guys don't go off in a given week, I find that a lot of people just want to come and like yell at me on Twitter about it. And it's like, dude, just cut him. Like, if you don't want him on your roster, A, don't draft him. Or B, if you figured it out after you drafted him, just cut him or trade him away or do whatever you can. And that way, because there's no reason to have agony and be all angry and upset over fantasy football. It's supposed to be fun. But he's boom or bust. And he's showing that. Now this is four straight weeks of down production, though, which is obviously not a good thing. At best, he's like a wide receiver three, but really they need to correct things for Caleb Williams first and foremost. To the other side, decent enough out of Drake May. Nothing earth-shattering. He did throw for a passing touchdown. He ran for 24 yards. Ramondre, 20 for 74. We know what Ramondre is at this point in the season, but nothing really earth-shattering there for the Patriots. All right, Buffalo 30-20 over the Colts, which is weird because Allen had no passing touchdowns. They only had two rushing touchdowns in the game. Allen had one and James Cook had the other. But it was Joe Flacco. I mean, he threw a pick six. He threw three interceptions really quickly, it felt like. He managed to right the ship. He goes 272-2. The two going to Alec Pierce, who may have... He's boomer bust too, though, but he has some value. And then Tyler Goodson, who doesn't have value. Jonathan Taylor, unfortunately, this is like a Derek Dilemma game. He had 21 carries for 114 yards. He looked awesome. The fantasy numbers, they're okay, but they're not awesome. Right, because he had two catches for 8 yards. He doesn't score a touchdown. He doesn't put up like 200 rushing yards. So it ends up going down as just a kind of fantasy day, despite it being a very good football day. Let's see, moving on to Minnesota, Jacksonville. I'm not worried about Sam Darnold three interceptions because all three of them came on throws to Justin Jefferson. And, you know, in some instances, Justin Jefferson, he gets in those contested situations, he just rips the ball. It just didn't happen in this game. But I don't think this is like, oh, Sam Darnold, all of a sudden he sucks. Like, they're not going to make a change. The team's 7-2. Like, they're not making a change. The bigger concern is Aaron Jones from this game. And I think Darnold will be fine going forward. But Aaron Jones got banged up here, 17 for 88. The good news is he managed to come back in. If he was to miss time, it's Cam Akers. I don't love Cam Akers. In fact, I don't get why people always seem to think Cam Akers is not going to be Cam Akers. But he would be the next man up with Ty Chandler getting a little bit of work too. The good news is, you know, Jones returned to the game, so I think we're likely in the clear. We're not in the clear on the other side. Tank Bigsby left, didn't come back, so it was ETN. It's an ankle issue. Don't have any other information right now. We'll, of course, come back to that through the week. Mac Jones ran into a tough one here, like no doubt about it. Best defense in the NFL for my money. He did target Evan Ingram 8 times. He caught 6 for 40. I think we're going to see at least another Mac Jones start. The reason why I say it, because Doug Peterson's being elusive about this, is their bye week is in week 12. So you rest Lawrence through week 12. Hopefully he doesn't have to have surgery or anything like was discussed as a possibility. And he only had to use Mac Jones for 2 weeks. Although the Jaguars are also circling the drain and Doug Peterson seemingly is on his way out. Denver, Kansas City. Denver's good, man. You know, they're good. They're not going to put up, 60 points or anything like that anytime soon. It doesn't seem like it, at least, but they're good. You know, and the defense is a big part of it. Obviously, Kansas City wins on a blocked field goal, which I don't think I've ever seen that one before. So we'll check that one off the bingo list. Mahomes was decent. 266 and one. The one goes to Kelce, so that's good. I had warned about DeAndre Hopkins not getting too far ahead of ourselves with him as like a wide receiver one. Well, no, he's still a wide receiver two. Let's call this his floor. 4 for 56, solid. Kelce, 8 for 64 and a touchdown. He's been elite in the middle part of the season. And I think more people are wising up to what I've been saying about Kareem Hunt not being effective on the ground. He averaged 2.5 yards per carry in this game. However, he bailed us out for fantasy because he had 7 catches for 65 yards. So whatever. Soon enough, Isaiah Pacheco will be back. if you took the advice to go and throw a dart at Audric Estime, I think we're on to something. This wasn't an amazing performance, 14 for 53. But the key, Sean Payton said his opportunities were going to expand. We didn't quite know what that meant. Now we kind of get a sense of what the carries look like, but listen to this, even more important. Audric Estime, 25 snaps, 16 snaps from Javonte Williams, 6 for Jaleel McLaughlin. So it looks like the flip has happened, and we're hearing that, you know, this is going to continue going forward. Obviously, Estime is going to be a big-time pickup this week, but the key is being proactive. If you did it last week, you don't have to worry about that. Like, he was free last week. He was absolutely free. So hopefully you got out ahead of that one. If not, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. He will be one of the top 10. The waiver tool is already updated too, by the way. I'm going to come back to it later today, but I put up the initial set, usually about 25 to 30 players initially. And then we go from there. I'll add defenses later on. I'll add players from the Monday night game, other players who I may have missed, some deeper options, and then fab percentages to it as well. Otherwise, I mean, Cortland Sutton, decent. Bo Nix is not bad, man. Bo Nix is a streamer option in a lot of weeks. He had 215-2 against a very good Kansas City team. Atlanta, New Orleans, just when we thought New Orleans was the worst team in the NFL, they beat Atlanta, who looked pretty good so far this season. Derek Carr, 2 passing touchdowns to the incomparable Marquez Valdes-Scantling. All right. Valdes-Scantling had 3 catches on 3 targets for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. That means we should all run out. He's one of the top pickups of the week, right? Wrong. We've read this book before. I don't even think I need to spoil the ending because we've read it before, but he's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Whether he's a Green Bay Packer, a Kansas City Chief, briefly a Buffalo Bill, or wherever the heck else he has been Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Does he have the occasional big game in him? Sure. Did we just see that happen? Yes. Good luck predicting the next one. He's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We don't need to run out. Like, yeah, sure, add him, but don't spend 30% of your fab on this dude because he's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We know who he is. It's don't point chase with this dude, okay? Like, we'll talk more about it tomorrow, but don't point chase with him. Over to the other side, Bijan is so good. I know that a lot of people were frustrated with him earlier in the season, and you may forget that part, but people were. And he's like erased all of that. You know, this is about this. If you drafted him early in the season, you know, this is a prime trust the process, dude. 20 for 116 and 2, caught a few balls as well. 3 balls for 28. Nice. Drake London, 8 for 97. Darnell Mooney, 5 for 96. Kyle Pitts, 4 for 55. All of that is good. Kirk Cousins is a 300-yard game. He just didn't throw any passing touchdowns, and who would have thought that for a Saints defense who just traded away basically their best corner? But so be it. So be it. Okay, let's move on to San Francisco and Tampa Bay. So with this one, San Francisco wins 23-20, but Christian McCaffrey, that was the big story of the game, comes back. He was Christian McCaffrey. He ends up catching 6 balls for 68 yards, even though only 13 for 39. He had 19 touches in this game. Awesome. Ricky Pearsall had a long touchdown, right? What was it, a 46-yarder? And, you know, I had people like yelling at me, like, I thought you said he was the fifth receiver. He still is. When you look at it, who led the team in targets? Juwan Jennings. Who else had more targets than Pearsall? Christian McCaffrey. How many targets did Deebo Samuel have? Same as Ricky Pearsall, and he had one more catch than him. The only player who didn't out-target him was George Kittle, and do we really think Ricky Pearsall is going to continue to consistently see more work than George Kittle? No, he is the fifth target. Now, can he occasionally pop a big play? Looks like he can. That's great. But he's still the fifth target in the offense. Moving on to the other side, tough one for Baker Mayfield. You know, he was scraping the bottom of the barrel. The only targets he had were Kate Otten and Rashad White. So you have no wide receivers here. Your top targets are a tight end and a running back. Rashad White, decent in the passing game, 6 for 39 and a touchdown. Kate Otten came back to earth, 5 for 38, but 8 targets for him. They head into bye. Mike Evans should be back after the bye. Hopefully all is right with the world at that point. The game of the week, Pittsburgh defeating Washington. Russell Wilson, I mean, I'm glad to see it. I know it sucks for people who really bought in hook, line, and sinker with Justin Fields. you know, if you've listened to me all along, I was not one of those people. I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop because the team made it clear in the offseason that Russ was the starter, and it's not like Fields was playing great. We have to sometimes, you know, take the fantasy glasses off and not look at football through the lens of fantasy and look at it through the lens of football. Fields was struggling, you know, and I'm not going to belabor that point any further. But one of the things I love about Russell Wilson is he throws to the end zone. And we had that beautiful touchdown from George Pickens. And look, Mike Williams steps foot in the building, barely plays, and Russ finds him for a touchdown, 32-yarder, look into the end zone. It's a good thing. Mike Williams will be addable, no doubt about it. But this is like, Russ is trending up. He's definitely a streamer now. And heck, he could end up being a top 12 guy later on. I don't know. I don't want to get too far over my skis on that one. We'll talk about Jaylen Warren again. He had another good game. Like, not a great game, not a fantasy, massive fantasy game, but another good game. To the other side, I mean, given the circumstances, Austin Eckler performed well. You know, he was thrown into the mix here as the lead back over the last 2 weeks, and he's done a nice job, and he scored two touchdowns. McNichols got in the end zone as well. Terry McLaurin still rolling. Noah Brown dropping some balls. Jaden Daniels would be better going forward. I'm not overly concerned by this one. Washington's a good team. Chargers defeating the Titans. Justin Herbert didn't have to throw the ball much in this one, but man, he's so good. He only had 164 passing yards in his score, but he's so good, and he ran for a score. I mean, I'm loving where this team is headed. Maybe this is the year that, like, nobody is like, you know, it feels like every year the Chargers are like the sleeper team. And I didn't hear that as much this year. Maybe this is the year that they actually make the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. That'd be pretty cool. Anyway, J.K. Dobbins, 15 for 50. Gus Edwards, 10 for 55. Not a major concern for Dobbins. He's still the lead. In fact, I can give you the participation here. But Edwards is the number two. And the number three was Hassan Haskins, not Kimani Vidal. Oh, here the participation tells it all. J.K. Dobbins played 38 snaps. That was a 67% share. Gus Edwards played 14 snaps, 25% share. So there's no worries there. It's just, you know, that's an added benefit for the Chargers, and Edwards would be the next man up if Dobbins went down. Another touchdown for Quentin Johnston. Over to the other side, Will Levis wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. Maybe the best performance we've seen out of him since that blow-up game way back in the middle of last season. He figured out if you target Calvin Ridley, it's good. He targeted him 9 times, 5 catches for 84 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So you have that. Tony Pollard playing through injury here, so I'm not overly concerned. It really wasn't that bad. It was just the volume was somewhat limited. He ends up with 13 touches in this one. Tajay Spears with 10. Hopefully that trend doesn't continue if you've been relying on Pollard. Again, he's been banged up the last 2 weeks, so that is worth noting. Arizona and the Jets. Well, here's your answer if you've been asking, why do you keep ranking Kyler Murray so highly? Because he can do stuff like this. Kyler Murray was pretty much perfect. I know he doesn't get a perfect passer rating in this one, but at one point he completed 17 passes in a row, a franchise record. He only had 2 incompletions, 266 passing yards on 24 passing attempts. He had 22 completions. That's sick. Passing touchdown, ran for 2 touchdowns. He got hit so hard his helmet went flying off, and he was okay because it doesn't matter. It was awesome to watch that. Trey Benson played pretty well here. James Conner's not going anywhere, but it's, you know, it's just a friendly reminder. We're getting closer to end game phase where you do want to start adding guys like that. I'm not there yet because I'm not in any leagues where I've clinched a playoff spot, but in the playoffs especially, I don't want guys like Benson available. So no, I'm not doing it now because I know everybody wants to go to step 5 and we're still at step 1. But it's just something to think about. Like, I'm starting to make a little short list of these guys. Like, if something was to happen, you know, you caught lightning in a bottle at running back. Over to the other side, not overly concerned here. I know some people are, but I'm going to look at what the Jets did last week as well, not just this week. And Devontae Adams did have 13 targets, only caught 6 for 31, but 13 targets, Devontae Adams. It's not a big deal. I think they'll be okay. It's not the season Jets fans wanted, for sure. Next week, you have Indianapolis. I'm not worried about that. Head into bye. Then you have Seattle, Miami, Jacksonville, Rams, Buffalo. It's not really the toughest schedule. There's a couple in there that are a little iffy, but I think they should be fine down the stretch. Philly and Dallas, this wasn't even close. Cooper Rush was not ready for prime time. Averaged under 2 yards per attempt. Wow. And of course, he could have had a passing touchdown to CeeDee Lamb, but the stupid sun in that stadium blocked it out. I don't know why they just put curtains up, because they can, but whatever. CeeDee Lamb, 6 for 21. I think Trey Lance has a distinct possibility of being a starter for this team, you know, so maybe deep super flex. I don't think we see Dak Prescott again this season. He's trying to get a second opinion, but who knows? Jalen Hurts was awesome yet again. Another multi-rushing touchdown game, 7 for 56 and 2 scores, 202 and 2 in a blowout. That's about all I can ask for. AJ Brown, 5 for 109. Dallas got back and got in the end zone, 2 for 25 and a touchdown. Not terrible. I know some people might be disappointed with Saquon. I get it. They didn't need him. You know, it was one of those games they put the backups in. You had Shipley and Kenny Gainwell out there in the second half. So not a big deal. Not a big deal at all. All right. Detroit, Houston to round it out. Wow. At halftime, this looks like the Lions are going to lose to a shorthanded Houston team. Okay. I mean, wow. The uniforms were freaking sweet for the Texans too, by the way. But no, they came back. That's what championship caliber teams do. Winning 26-23. Holy crap. Excellent. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions. At one point, it felt like it was like every series was going to end in an interception, because both he and Stroud were like going back and forth, but Stroud only threw 2. Either way, 240 and 2 with the 5 interceptions. The touchdowns going to Amon-Ra and Sam Laporta, so that was good, but Sam Laporta did get hurt, could miss time here. To the other side, I mean, Mixon, this is the first defense that figured him out all season. 25 for 46. But here's the beauty to Mixon. He scores a touchdown. Okay. So he gets you to 10.6 there. And then in PPR, he had 2 for 44. So he adds 6.4 more. So he gets you up to 17 points, even in a game that was really tough sledding for him. So good stuff there. Mechie got in the end zone. I mean, but obviously the big story here was Nico Collins not playing. He was activated so late in the week. He only got a limited practice, and usually that's the kiss of death. Like, I had a lot of people at FTN saying, why are you ranking him so low? And it's because we didn't know if he was going to play. So in those instances, I have to make a decision, and my decision is usually to put him in a place where, yeah, I'm acknowledging he can still play, but I wasn't confident with him playing. And so hopefully you avoided that, or you had other plans in place so that you didn't run into that buzzsaw. But I think there's a good chance we see him this upcoming week. So the Texans have Dallas on Monday night, then Tennessee, then Jacksonville, and they're part of week 14 by Mageddon. So heading down the home stretch. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Remember, FTNFantasy.com, at Jeff Rackliff on Twitter, at Jeff Rackliff on Instagram. Tomorrow we'll be back. We'll give you a quick recap of what we see from Monday Night Football, give you the latest news from around the NFL, and my top 10 waiver ads of the week. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.